You may be seated. Thanks for coming. I didn't think there'd be this many people here today. But I did a good job in blocking off the roads and everything like that, didn't I? And I had nothing to do with that. But thanks for going the second mile today, because I didn't know how to get to church either. And the further south I went, the more fortified it was. So, any rate, good to see everybody here today. Rag Bri is completely new to me. I have no idea what it does to a community, but I have a taste of it today. And I know there's some people who stayed home today because they did not want to go against the traffic or in the traffic to go back home or to church, however it is. And so those of you on Zoom, you are in a good place. Stay in the state or the place where you are. We're glad you've joined us this morning as well. We do have some people here that are joining other family members here. I won't say who you are. You know who you are. But we do have a special lady here today that will turn 90 on Tuesday. Pat Knutson has a 90th birthday this coming Tuesday. There's coffee and cupcakes going to be served after the service today. And so that means I'm going to make sure I have an exceptionally long sermon so that you get hungrier and you will stay for cupcakes. But we're going to sing a happy birthday song to Pat. Following that, I'm going to ask you that have birthdays in July to stand or raise your hand, whatever is easier for you to do, and we'll just sing a happy birthday to friends, if there's anyone who has a birthday in July. Anyway, so let's sing happy birthday to Pat. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pat. Happy birthday to you. Now, is there anyone who has a birthday in July? Please stand or raise your hand. Oh, we have someone all the way from Florida that is here today as well. Woohoo, look at all these. Okay, let's sing happy birthday to these friends. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you. May you enjoy the day the best that you can. You are blessed by the Lord in giving you another birthday to celebrate with friends and with family as well. Well, in your bulletin today, hopefully you got one, because you don't have to worry about finding a bulletin here once you get here. It's just getting here is the tough part. But we're glad that you got a bulletin. I just want to make a few announcements here today. Just to let you know that I really appreciate the people who are delivering Meals on Wheels. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I just want you to know that we really appreciate those of you that are involved in doing that. There's just one day left, and the reason there's nothing there at this point in time is because it's during the week of Vacation Bible School. We have no one to deliver meals on what day is that? On the 29th, July 29th, just so you know that. But if you'd like to be a part of that, just do it one day. See Amy or call Amy at the church office or call me or whatever it is, and we'll let you know what that's all about, even if you've never done it before. They got good directions on how to get to the places where you give meals. There are about 10 of them, I believe there is. So you go to 10 different places or at least 9. It just depends on the day type of thing. I want you to know that Vacation Bible School is, we're just about a little over a week away. There is a VBS volunteer meeting following church today. And so if you don't know where that's at or who to contact, see Amy. Oh, it's not? It's next week? Oh, yeah, there I see. It's next Sunday. Okay. Oh, you need someone to help you with putting up tables or moving tables around? Okay. See Amy about if you can stick around for tables, whatever it is, to help move that around for Vacation Bible School. And, I apologize. I did not know that it was not this Sunday, but next Sunday for getting together. And just a reminder to the delegates to the LCMC convention in Lakeville, Minnesota, that's in October. It's a long ways away, but to get the early bird discount, we need to find out who you are and make sure that you have a place to stay, make sure that you have the breakout sessions that you'll be a part of. You get to pick two that they have every day. And that's why we need to know who you are, make sure you get everything paid for, you get registered. Amy does a great job with that. She even puts a packet together and gives you a packet. And so there's no issues on, like, you don't know what to do or where to go or what's happening. She puts one together just great. So if you are a delegate, see her, call her, however that may be. And if she's not around, can't get a hold of her, then call me and I will let her know or something like that. Thank you for those of you that came to the tea on the Titanic. How many were there? Ooh, over 30 of you came to that. And I'm glad you all are alive and you came back today. So thank you for those of you ladies that put that whole thing together, because it takes a lot of work. There's a lot of volunteers and a lot of different details to make something like that as special as it was. So thank you for those of you that had a part in doing that. There's other announcements that are on your flyer here in their bulletin. You can look at those, read those for yourself, and be aware of what's taking place here in sometimes the weeks and the months ahead as well. So the call to worship today says this from Psalm 27, verses 5 and 14. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Praise band can sing another song. All the people said amen.
People said amen. Oh, and all. the people said amen.
Amen. Yeah. The responsive reading has to do with security in Christ. Pay very close attention to these words here today. It begins with, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us.
God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?
No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation,
will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you for playing, sharing your abilities and gifts and music here this morning, Praise Band. Appreciate that very much. Are you ready to hear a sermon? That's what I wanted to hear. If it was dead silence, I'd have just sat back down. But being you want to hear a sermon, I'll give you one. I'm going to invite you to stand first to hear God's word today. We stand because we show reverence when we stand. You know, when the judge comes into the courtroom, everybody stands. When we hear God's word, out of reverence, we stand. That's why we do it. It comes from Luke chapter 10. Right after the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we have a little different scenario here that's going on. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, where's he going? Hey, very good. Going to Jerusalem. He's still on that track. He's set on going there. He's not quite there yet. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, very good. You've heard this before. Who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to him, who's Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" Sound like you? Sometimes. Sounds like me sometimes. "Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," Jesus answered, the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this account that we have from your word. We know that it's true. We know there's things here for us, even though it was written down over 2,000 years ago, or almost. And so you know, Lord, even ahead of time, that there would be people alive in 2025 who will need to hear these words, and the many that have heard these words sometimes over and over again, and sometimes for the first time, over the millennia and over the centuries. And so, Lord, we are no different. We need to hear these words because there's something here. There's probably a lot here that we can apply to our own lives as we know that these are your words. So we just ask you to help us because we know we can't do it in our own strength. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I had mentioned earlier that this follows the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan that we looked at last week. And Jesus is responding to the expert of the law who's actually testing Jesus in the question, "What must I do to have eternal life?" I mean, if anybody knew the answer to that, it should have been him. He was an expert, remember? He's an expert. So Luke writes in his gospel that we just read together here today that Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem, and at the place where he finds Mary and Martha, and we know that they have a brother that you know who he is, but he's not mentioned here. And who is that, Oliver? Very good. Thank you, Lazarus. I mean, thank you, Oliver. Lazarus is the brother to Martha and Mary. He's not mentioned here in Luke's account. But we do know something about Martha and Mary in this account. And the village that they are in is called Bethany. Bethany is a village that is very close to Jerusalem. It's probably, at this time, it's probably about 2 miles at best away from Jerusalem. So Jesus isn't very far from where he, from his destination of where he wants to go, which is Jerusalem. And he is choosing what is best. And it's very important that you get this. He's choosing what is best for lost sinners like us and to those in that day as well. The best choice is God's salvation for us to receive and to make that a personal thing, a personal belief in our lives and in our hearts. His mission was to come and to save those who were spiritually lost. Did you know that? That's why Jesus came, to look for the lost, the needy, the ones who wanted salvation. The righteous, he said, they don't need it. They don't want it. Even though he came for them too. But he's looking for lost people to save them from where lost people will go if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's not me saying this. This is what the scriptures tell us. So I'd like for us today to take a look at all the choices that are being made in our text here today. Look at all the choices you had to make just to come to church. Do I turn here? Nope. Do I turn there? No. How am I going to get to the church? Well, you made a lot of choices of where to turn and come up the street to get to Harbor of Joy. Some of you were very wise. You took the very first turn at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Even though it had road closed, you didn't pay attention to that sign. You went right through there, and you got here very quick. Good for you. I was not that smart in doing that. So choices. Look at all the choices we find in this portion of Scripture. The choices by Jesus is that he had to make a choice of where he was going to go. And he went to Bethany. Martha chose to open up her home, not only to him, but also to his disciples, which means there's 13 guys here that she's going to welcome into her house. Think of that. How many of you would do that? You'd say, well, one or two would be okay. And if they have a couple of kids, that's okay. But 13? Get out of here. There's no way I can do that. Or we can also order pizza so they can all get fed and it can be delivered to our door. But that wasn't the case here. Jesus, when he was invited to come into Martha's home, he chose to accept that invitation. And he went into her house. And Martha, she chose to get busy in the kitchen. She goes, these guys need to be fed. They're going to need something. Kind of like ragbri, right? I have no idea what ragbri is, but I'm finding what it is. I'd rather have a blizzard than what I see around here. So Mary, we find that she made a decision to choose something too, different from her sister Martha. Martha chose to get busy in the kitchen. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to him. Choices. Choices that are going on. You had to make a choice when you heard the alarm go off this morning in your bedroom or wherever and say, like, well, I think I'm going to go to church. You had to make a choice to be here. And you had to make a really good choice today because you found out it wasn't the normal way to come. So who do you think between Martha and Mary was the firstborn? The firstborn was Martha. The firstborn is always the doer. They like to have things done, and done when? Now. You know, that comes from voices of probably people who are firstborn. So we'd say that Martha definitely is a firstborn in this family because she takes things into her own hands and wants to get things done. And she had that choice. The only time when we didn't have a choice, and I'm thinking of all of us here, there was a time that you did not have a choice in anything, including myself. It's when you came into this world. How many of you had a choice to come and to be born? Just what I thought. Nobody. We just arrived. Expected. And that's the only time we did not have a choice. It was God's choice that we are here. And that we have lived as long as we have and gone where we've gone and done what we've done over life. But he is the one who brought us into this world. Where he's at in your life today, I have no idea. But you're born for a purpose in mind in his sight. I just ask, do you know what that purpose is? Do you know what his plan is for your life? No? Think on that if you haven't. And maybe you have. But none of us had a choice in being born. And so life is full of choices. And sometimes we make the right choices along the way. Sometimes we thought we were right, and we find out later on that we were wrong. Sometimes we make bad choices and find we're disappointed. It didn't go the way that I thought. And sometimes we thought we made a bad choice, and it turns out what? It turned out in our favor. It was a good choice after all, after you thought it was a bad choice. But sound like you here today? Just think of the choice that you made when you got married. How did you know this was the right person? If someone tried to talk you out of it, what would you have said to them? Stick it in your ear. I'm not going to hear that. Some of you had to make some very difficult choices in divorce. Some of you have made tough choices in hospitals and nursing homes and in funerals. There's a lot of choices in life. Not easy ones to make, like buying a car or getting a different one or trading it in on something different. So let's meet Martha here in our text. You know, she's not a bad person. I don't want anyone to feel today that the pastor really came down hard on Martha. And if you're a Martha today, I don't want you to feel you're a bad person, because you're not. But this is what we find out about Martha. She is got the gift of hospitality. How do we know that? Because she invited Jesus and his 12 guys. There could have been more, I don't know. But she invited them into her house. When's the last time you invited someone into your house that you didn't know? Well, RAGBRAI is it's a different horse of another color. There will be a 34-foot RV parked along the church out here from people from Kentucky that want to plug in and hook up to water during RAGBRAI, and all of their bikers, there's 8 of them all together, they're going to stay inside the RV. They're not going to be coming into the church. But if you see that out here, I mean, that's what's going to happen today. And then I got someone who called from Texas this last week. They're staying in somebody's yard on 11th Avenue, but they need a place to park their vehicle that's carrying things for the group. And so they want to just park their vehicle in the church parking lot, which I said it's okay to do that. I got their phone number. They got my phone number. I'll be dealing with them this afternoon or whenever they come. I have no idea. But Martha is very hospitable, inviting people into her home. She's a go-getter. She has got lots of energy, and she loves to cook. Anybody here love to cook? Okay, we're all going over to your place after church. No, we won't do that, Terry. But she is confident in what she does because she loves to cook. She likes to get things done. She takes a lot of pride in her work. So everything she does, it's going to be done well. That's Martha. Martha likes being in charge and making sure that it gets done, that everyone is going to be blessed and pleased by it no matter what. But she talks to Jesus while she's doing all these things, and she says, Lord, don't you care about my sister? And her sister is who? Mary. Mary has left me to do all this work. I've been in the kitchen making. You can smell what I'm making. and bringing stuff out to you. Tell her to come and help me with all this. Why didn't Martha motion to Mary in a very kind of discreet way? Like, or she'd be able to communicate like, I need your help somehow, you know? But no, she had to go to Jesus and blurt it out verbally, hoping that Jesus would take her side. Why didn't Martha politely go to Mary and just say, Mary, I need you. Could you come and give me a hand? We got a lot of people here. Why didn't she just say that? Could it be Martha wanted some recognition of all that she was doing and she didn't get it? She didn't hear anyone say, well, man, look at how fast she's moving around and getting all these things done for us that have come to her. Man, Martha, you should just slow down. Did Martha have to have some expectations on Mary that weren't met? My own sister, Mary, she knows I need her help. And all she does is what? She just sits there. Did Martha have her priorities right? She thought she did by what she said to Jesus. Because she said to Jesus, Lord, tell Mary I need her help. Tell her to help me. And Jesus, he doesn't side with Martha. She's complaining and whining. And I kind of find that very interesting, don't you? How many of us here would have listened to Martha? Raise your hand. Come on, get him up. Yeah, see? Martha's in charge. And she needs some help. I will gladly help if somebody needs help. You would do that. Jesus would differ. And he says, only time, it's not the only time, but any time that the Lord says the person's name twice, back to back, Martha, Martha. He just wants to make sure that the person he's referring to is understanding that he's coming from a heart of compassion and he still loves her, he still cares about her. But he sees beyond what she's doing. He sees that she's all about distractions. She's doing this and all this stuff. She's not really focusing in on why Jesus is there with the disciples. And so he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. It has nothing to do with everything you're doing. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is best or what's better than you. Did you get that? Jesus sided with Mary. Could that be said of you this morning? What are you worried about here today? What are you upset about this morning? Anything? Is your life full of distractions of many different kinds, many worries? Are you saying, Lord, don't you care about me? Been thinking that lately? Did you bring that with you here this morning? The Lord doesn't care about you? Now remember, that question does not come from Jesus. It comes from the pit. Only the devil would want you to feel that Jesus doesn't care about you. Jesus says only one thing is needed. And Mary chose what was best. So let's look at Mary for just a little bit. What did Mary say in all of this? What did Mary say? Nothing. She's silent. But what if Mary would have asked Martha to forget about the meal? And let's just sit down and listen to Jesus. What if Mary would have said that to Martha? Do you dare say that to the firstborn? No. Because would the firstborn listen to you? No. So what did Mary do? Nothing. She just sat there to listen to see what Jesus was saying, but she listened. But she didn't do anything else, but she just listened. And Jesus said, Mary did the better by just doing nothing but listening to what he had to say or what he had to teach his disciples. So it comes down to this, my friends, that it's not about what we can do for Jesus that's important. It's not what we can do. It's not about being busy for Jesus. You can be busy, 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 busy. Busy as a bee. And people like that. You can hear all kinds of different comments of people saying like, wow, look at what you're doing. You shouldn't do that, da, 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 da. Busyness. People like busyness. If that's what you're looking for, then that's the way you are. But the most important thing is to sit at his feet, to read his word first. Let him teach you. Listen to what he's saying in his word. How does it apply to your life? Once we have listened, then we know what we need to do. Then we go. Has a lot to do with the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Three guys saw the same guy, but only one offered the help. And it had to be a Samaritan. It's just like it had to be a German. It should have been a Norwegian. But no, he picked a German. To do. It doesn't really apply today anymore, but one time it did. Your nationality had a lot to do with how other people thought of you. So let's have Jesus serve us first through his word, and then let us go and serve him after we have listened to him and we've read his word. It's not that difficult, is it? And you might say, Pastor, that's just too easy. Well, it is. If our priorities are straight and right, that's a good priority to have, is to read God's word and see what it has to say to me. How does God speak to me through his word? A couple of Bible verses I think can be helpful here today. The one is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, it tells us not to be anxious about anything. Sometimes it says, do not worry about anything. But do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So you see how you come to God, you come and listen to him, You pray to him. It's you and him before you do anything else. If you've got anxiety, if you've got worry. But you present your request to God in what manner? With thanksgiving. Not with a grudge. Not with a ratzel-fratzel. But with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, this is what follows, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a great verse. Those are great verses. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And another one is 1 Peter 5, 7. It says, cast all your... Yeah, and some Bibles will say anxiety. But cares and anxiety can be the same thing, interpreting. Cast all your cares on Jesus because he cares for you. There it is. Was Martha right in saying, don't you care? God's word says he cares. So the church today needs both Marthas and Marys. That's a good thing. I'm glad we have Marthas. Because nothing would get done otherwise. I'm glad we have Marys because they like to listen and they like to be with people. To listen to what they have to say. And to comfort them, to encourage them. And it doesn't matter if they say anything or not, but just that they took notice of the person and just listened. There's just not a lot of that today, of people just listening to one another. May we choose to sit at Jesus' feet before we get too busy and too distracted with our own agendas. But may we choose what is best. And that's listening at the foot of Jesus, at his feet. Sometimes we don't want to do what's best. But that's when we need to come and sit at his feet first. And then to do what he asks us to do. And if anyone questions you, you just say, thanks for telling me that, but God didn't tell me that. God told me something different that I need to do, and that's what I'm doing. You're not being disrespectful. You're just saying, I'm listening to what is best. And it's not what you think. It's what God thinks. Is what's important. So do what is best, always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the choices that you bring into our lives and that we live in a place, Lord, where we are free to make all kinds of choices. It's so different to be in other countries. Other cultures where that cannot be done. Sometimes you have to listen to the witch doctor. Sometimes you have to listen to the medicine man. Sometimes you have to listen to the elder in a tribe somewhere to get the approval, or they may not like what you would like to do and they'll tell you to do something different and you better listen or there'll be consequences. Lord, it's not that way with you, especially here in America. We thank you for the freedom that you bring into hearts and lives to anyone who believes and trusts in you. And we know that that is happening in a lot of different places, a lot of different countries around the world, where people are listening to you and doing what you have told them to do, even when their governments have not been kind to them. And could care less about anything that you say or has been said to them. because they believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you for those people that we don't know who they are, but even today are making choices to help others and to follow you and to serve you, to say things that if others hear what they have to say, they would be persecuted and things done to them that we wouldn't even want to talk about here today. Thank you for this country that you have given to us. And may you be with the choices that we make with you in mind today and every day ahead. May we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May you stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Go in his peace and serve the Lord.